The Mitchell's Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11.
Right, arguments on Christmas Day, and in fact, more broadly, how do you have a healthy argument? Because at Christmas time, a lot of people come together with differing views and values, and in some cases, you only see those people once or twice a year, and therefore you're not used to dealing with them in a space that means that you're dealing with them for prolonged periods of time. And as my producer Robert was saying, on Christmas Day, when the alcohol is flowing freely, that's when it is likely that arguments will start to flare up. On the line now to talk about it is Lizanne Erks. Thanks for being on the program, Lizanne.
Thanks for having me, Mitchell.
So, Christmas, I mean, this is sort of a more broad subject about argumentation, but I think particularly at this time of year, this is when people come together and tempers are running wild.
That's for sure. I'm quite busy as a mediator around this time of year.
Yeah, so you're doing a lot of conversations around how people can try and manage conflict. And it probably is inevitable that at some point over the Christmas period, there will be conflict popping up.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like you said before, people are in a space with each other for longer periods of time that they normally might not be. And alcohol is definitely can be an issue when people might say things they normally would not say to each other.
So what's your advice to people that don't want to see arguments flaring up around the Christmas table?
I think if you know that you're going to have arguments with someone in your family, maybe if it's a big group, you don't have to talk to everyone, if that makes sense. So you
yes.
don't have to necessarily sit next to that person. And with some people, you might know that particular topic, like, for example, politics or whatever it might be, that you don't agree on those topics. So I would say choose a topic that you know you actually can talk about. And even if that person tries to aggravate you or tries to start talking about it, they say, listen, can we just leave that for today? You know, I don't think it's a topic I really would like to discuss. I think that really helps. And the other thing is as well is I do think it's important to watch alcohol intake if you don't want an argument to flare up, because you might not be thinking straight at one point anymore, and that's when you might not be able to manage it well.
Yeah, as I was saying earlier, I was at a Christmas function a few weeks ago, and I was listening to a conversation that was happening on the other side of the room, and it was two people arguing about climate change. And I mean, neither of them were going to persuade the other person that their point of view was right. So I mean, what's the point, really?
Yeah, and I think, I mean, a healthy discussion, I don't think that's a problem, because but as soon as it gets into an argument and people just want to be right, and often I find with family members, when it's an argument about a particular topic, people move away from the topic and actually start to become about the person, and that's when things normally really go wrong.
But some of the other things that you talk about is making sure that you actually have the argument face-to-face, so it doesn't really work so well over email, is that right?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. So I think when you email and text, first of all, you might be reading. If I get a text message from my best friend or my worst enemy, I will be reading it very differently.
Yeah.
So you miss tone, you miss what someone means. And when you want to work something out with someone, you can't actually respond to how they are responding, or you can't read their body language. So it's sort of, it can cause a lot more problems by not just having that conversation on the phone or just having a face-to-face, so you can actually know what that person is trying to tell you, or how, and they can't hear what you mean because they can't hear your tone or see your body language. Does that make sense?
Something else you also say is to use I statements more. So rather than saying, you know, your view on climate change is wrong, what you have to say, I think this or I believe this.
Yes, because people don't get defensive if you just say, or, you know, in an argument you say, I really, this is what I really believe, or when when this happened, this is how I felt about it, because there's not much to argue about when, you know, no one can tell you how you feel. So you can say, oh, this is how I felt, and you're not blaming someone else. It's not like you did this and you did that, because often when you do that, people start defending those statements, that you're not actually getting anywhere. You just want to tell that person, this is what the impact was on me. And then you want to listen to, well, and then you can ask them and say, well, what was it like for you? And then they can tell what it was like for them. So there might be some things that you didn't know that you did or didn't do that upset them. And that's where you can really start getting to a place of resolution.
And how would you use that to approach some of the awkward conversations that you may have to have around Christmas, such as, you know, I feel like you've had too much and, you know, you can't drive home. I need to take your keys away.
Well, that's a really good question. I mean, that's a safety issue, I guess. But you could say, listen, I don't feel comfortable with you driving somewhere because I'm making it up on the spot,
yes.
I guess. But I would still, you could still use it with I statements. You don't have to say, well, you're going to drive into a tree or this is what you're going to do because I don't feel comfortable with that. I feel like I have a duty of care here. And I really want you to hand them over to me because I really care about you. I think that sounds really different than having someone, blaming someone around, well, you always are irresponsible and this is what you always do. I think it sounds very different. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. In terms of the other thing that you mentioned, you say listening is quite important. So actually, I suppose being prepared to listen to what the other person has to say rather than just thinking about what your next argument is going to be in your head.
Yeah, so that's what we do. We all have this inner dialogue, so we often are busy with preparing our next statement instead of really listening. And I don't know about you, Mitchell, but I've definitely experienced in my life that when someone doesn't listen, you know. So it's almost like you're talking to a brick wall.
Yeah.
And then also when you don't actually listen, you actually only get snippets of what the other person says, and then our brain actually assumes everything they didn't hear. So it might be that you're responding to something that that person actually didn't say at all, and then they get frustrated because they're like, that was not what I was talking about. You're not listening to me.
Yeah.
It gets worse than if you just go, okay, I really heard what you said. Often what I do with my clients and family members, I actually tell them what I think they said. So they know I actually heard them, but also I know that I heard it correctly because I'm a human being and sometimes I might not hear it right.
And
that really helps.
I just find that in almost every family, there's always someone that's very set in their ways that doesn't seem to listen anyway. You know, they're just so set in their ways, they're determined to have their own viewpoint. They probably don't care what other people are saying, and that can be very frustrating.
Yeah, no, I mean, of course that can be frustrating. But again, I think with those people, you just try to not get into that argument in the first place, say on Christmas Day, and say, listen, let's just not do that. Like, you know, we're all trying to have a great day with the family here. If you want to talk to me about this and it's really something that's important to you, let's make an appointment, you know, next week, go and have a coffee and we can talk it out then. That's what I would do. If you really feel that there's no resolution on the day and it's not possible, then you make an appointment with them beforehand or after, or just say, listen, I just really don't want to do this right now. That's okay with you.
This other tip that you've got here is probably one of the most important ones, and that is to stay calm, because if you start to fly off the handle, I think that's when things can escalate pretty seriously.
Yeah, they can. And to be honest, I've never seen it work in any situation. I don't know about you, but that it has. Have you ever seen it work if someone gets really upset and angry that it made it better?
The only time I could think is like if someone needs to move quickly or do something and they do it to motivate. But yeah, usually it just makes the situation far worse, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, and that's an emergency. That would be shouting because you're worried about someone.
I
think that's very different. And people often ask me, because I get, you know, a lot done, because negotiation is what I do for a living,
but,
I get refunds or I get, you know, think people, how did you do that? And I said, well, you just are very clear and you ask, but you never raise your voice, get angry and be respectful to the person you speak to, because as soon as you start, you know, calling names or being really aggressive, people just check out and they just don't want to do anything for you and you're just done. So you just actually lose all your possibility of resolving this conflict.
Also, if you really wanted to be, I suppose, argumentative, sometimes if you really dislike someone and they get worked up, you staying calm can actually be quite aggravating to that person. So if you're feeling like you want to get the message across, it can actually work to stay calm in a situation where someone gets very, very angry.
Yeah, no, I think so. I mean, because also when you shout, I think people at one point don't listen to you, whatever you have to say anyway. I mean, sometimes it's the same with my children. If I would raise my voice all the time, at one point people get used to that as well and they don't take any notes. So definitely, I think staying calm is the key. And if you can't stay calm because sometimes things are so aggravating to you, then again, take yourself out of the situation and say, well, I'm happy to talk about it in half an hour. I just need to take myself outside for a moment, or just get yourself out of it so you can calm down. Because actually when we're that upset, our brain doesn't operate properly as well. So you can't actually make proper decisions. So there's a whole like neuroscience behind it, which won't go into right now. But it is really important to calm your brain down and just step out, calm down, and then have that conversation. Otherwise, it's just not going to lead anywhere and you might make terrible decisions. in the moment.
Another tip you've got here is stick to the issue at hand rather than going off on tangents. And that can be, I think, very challenging but very important. If you start to go off on tangents, you undermine the message that you're trying to get across.
Yeah, no, absolutely, because you're trying to resolve one issue by talking about something else. So a good example of that would be like a manager, for example, calls in someone into their office and say, hey, I really want to talk to you about it. I hear you've been gossiping about other team members and it doesn't work. So let's say that's the issue. And then all of a sudden they start talking about, oh, and by the way, you never finish your work and it doesn't work for me either. And it has nothing to do with each other. So I always, that's part of my job, is to keep people on topic and actually resolve that fully before we do something else. Because at one point it all seems to be the same issue, but it really isn't. And it's very confusing because at one point no one knows what they're talking about anymore.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that is where things get lost. And some people's minds, I think, seems to work in quite a scattered way.
Yes, I think it's, and it's really normal. It's not because people are not good at arguing. They just, all these things start popping up and go, oh, and what about this? And this happened 10 years ago or 5 years ago. So I think it's really important to be conscious of it and go, okay, well, we can talk about that, but let's park that for the moment. This is what I want to talk to you about now. And when we resolve that, for sure, we can talk about that as well. But it is kind of strange that we're trying to talk about something that it's not about to resolve it, because you can't.
And the final tip that you've got here, which I also think is very important, is to not give up. I find it really sad when I hear instances of families where they haven't spoken to people for 2 years or 6 months. I just think it's always important to try and at least keep the dialogue going, even if you don't agree with the person.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, if you look at peace talks or really big conversations, they don't get resolved in one conversation. So I think sometimes people want to have one conversation also because they find it uncomfortable, and then it's to go, okay, now it should be all resolved. But sometimes it just takes multiple conversations. It's important to stick with it. And you know, and you might have a new idea or get creative in the next conversation, or people have a break from it and come back to it. So I think it's really important not to give up. And also think about, particularly with family members, I often see when someone gets really sick or something like that, then everyone is able to focus on the important thing and put things aside, so to speak. So I always say to people, think about, you know, if something really bad would happen, what would you want to have, what kind of relationship would you would have liked to have with that person? Because we don't have unlimited time on this planet, I guess. So it's really important to keep that in mind and just focus on what's really important and keep the dialogue open and see if you can resolve it over time.
Thank you so much for all that wonderful advice. There's a lot of things to think about, but I think you've been very comprehensive. If there was one thing that you would say that people should focus on coming into Christmas as a final tip, what would it be?
Like I said before, I think about that what's important to you. So, you know, are the relationship important to you? And you know, set aside whatever is in the way at the moment, at least for the day, and park it, or and focus on how much you actually love these people and enjoy the day. And if there's anything that you need to resolve, make an appointment for it on another day, but not Christmas.
Yeah, not Christmas. Just put it to one side. Look, thank you very much. A really good conversation. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Mitchell.
Thank you. Lizanne Eriks there joining us to talk about how to avoid arguments on Christmas. But look, I mean, avoid is a strong word. I think it's inevitable that there will be arguments over the Christmas period, and you've got to learn how to work through them.
The Mitchell's Front Page podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 to 11. Or search for Mitchell's Front Page on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever you get your podcasts.